Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news-ad-free. That's amazon.com/news-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Have you ever experienced a dry, itchy scalp or ever wondered why your color isn't lasting as long as your hairdresser promised? Well, unfiltered, mineral-filled water could be the reason why. Did you know hard water is a leading cause of damaged hair and dry, irritated skin? And that about 85% of the United States uses hard water, filled with dissolved minerals and added chlorine. That's where Canopy's new filtered showerhead comes in. Canopy, known for their beauty hacks and reimagined humidifier, has revolutionized the filtered showerhead. Dermatologists recommended this unique 3-stage filtration system greatly reduces contaminants and odors in your shower water, leaving you with healthy hair and glowing skin. Best of all, the Canopy filtered showerhead is hassle-free. Installation is a breeze. We put it in, it took like 30 seconds, guys. And its unique quick-release filter replacement feature allows for seamless filter replacement unlike any others on the market. Go to getcanopy.co to save $25 on your Canopy filtered showerhead purchase today with Canopy's hassle-free filter subscription. Even better, our listeners can use code PANTSUIT at checkout to save an additional 10% off your Canopy purchase. Hurry, your hair and skin will thank you.
I love spring. I feel like it's the perfect time to hit reset. Get rid of the things that don't work, bring in things that do work. With Nexivo Naturals CBD products, you can get rid of oil-based CBD, which doesn't work very well, and introduce CBD that will help you live well, happily, with less stress and greater sleep quality. Oil-based CBD just doesn't mix well with our bodies because our bodies are mostly water. But Nexivo Naturals developed a clinically tested, water-soluble form of CBD, and their gummies and capsules are proven to work faster and absorb better than oil-based products. For a limited time in April, you can get 60% off an order of $40 or more by using code PANTSUIT at Nexivo.com. I really value the sleep complex. It is CBD with melatonin, and it just helps take the edge off my day when my thoughts are racing as I hit the pillow. I can just kind of feel myself melting away. I wake up refreshed. I sleep all night. I think it is such a good product that has been, for years now, really valuable to me. Give your life a refresh with more effective and fast-acting CBD from Nexivo Naturals. For a limited time in April, get 60% off any order of $40 or more by using code PANTSUIT at Nexivo.com. That's 60% off any order of $40 or more only in April at Nextevo.com with promo code PANTSUIT.
I distinctly remember having a little bit of unsureness even then with registering as a Republican. And my father said, well, you'll definitely want to register as a Republican so you can vote all the crazy people out in the primaries.
This is Sarah from the left.
And Beth from the right.
You're listening to Pantsuit Politics.
No shouting, no insults, plenty of nuance. On today's episode, we are going to talk with Representative Stephanie Clayton. Stephanie Clayton serves the 19th district in Kansas's House of Representatives. And we thought she would be such a fascinating guest because she was elected as a Republican in 2013, but announced that she was changing her party affiliation in December of 2018. So we're going to let her tell you that story and hope that you enjoy hearing about her journey. This is a good introduction because later this month we're going to be diving into the history of the political parties a little bit and talking about what role they serve today. So enjoy our conversation with Representative Clayton. We're here with Representative Stephanie Clayton of Kansas. Representative Clayton, thank you so much for joining us. We're really excited to talk with you.
Well, thank you. I'm excited to talk with you, too.
So we've been talking about political parties, and you have a really interesting experience. You were elected to the Kansas legislature as a Republican, and quite a few years in,
switched parties. Can you just tell us a little bit about yourself? What made you run for office and why were you initially a Republican? I know those are a bunch of questions, so I'll just be quiet and let you talk for a while.
All right. Well, I will do my best to keep it clear and concise. When I first registered to vote, I actually pre-registered, so I was not quite 18, but I filled out all the forms, and I was taken down to the election office with my father, who I think he was advanced voting and something, and thought he'd go ahead and get me registered while we were there. And I distinctly remember having a little bit of unsureness even then with registering as a Republican. And my father said, well, you'll definitely want to register as a Republican so you can vote all the crazy people out in the primaries. And that was basically from the age of, you know, 17, 18 on. One of the first elections that I voted in was for the Senate election. It was a Senate primary between then sitting Senator Sheila Fromm, who was a moderate Republican who had been appointed to replace Bob Dole, who was running for president at the time. And she was being primaried by a name that might sound familiar to you all, Sam Brownback.
Lord, I did not know that was the origin story of Sam Brownback.
Well, his origin story goes back a little bit further, but that was the origin of him getting into the Senate. And so my first vote that I made was for a moderate woman and against a conservative man. And so this has been a theme that is carried out pretty strongly throughout my life. I went to college at a small regions institution in Kansas. I was on a first in my family college student. So it was called Emporia State University. And I wasn't terribly active politically there. I was mostly just trying to get my education. And it was later when I got married and returned back to the Kansas side of the Kansas City area, where I still live now, that I wanted to get more involved in politics because I saw a disturbing trend to the right. And I thought, well, if I get more involved in the Republican Party and support moderate Republican candidates over some of their more extremist challengers, then I can make the world a better place. So I joined and then shortly after became president of the Johnson County Young Republicans. And I think a lot of people confuse young Republicans and young Democrats with college Republicans and college Democrats. Mm-hmm. When you think about YDs and YRs, these are people who are what we would categorize as young professionals. So like the cutoff age for young Republicans is 40. So now I'm too old to be that. And the cutoff for young Democrats is 35. So think of me about, you know, 20s when I started doing this. So the opportunity for me to run for state representative came up when my then state representative, Kevin Yoder, ran for Congress. And so the seat came open and I had a daughter who had just started, I think she was, had just finished kindergarten around the time when I decided that I would run, because there was a distinct decline in the quality of our public schools. And so I was sensible. I looked for where the source of the problem was. So I thought it might be the local school board. And I talked to them and they said, well, no, the real problem is in Topeka. That's Kansas's state capital, with the state legislature. And so I thought, oh, well, okay, I'll just go there and fix it, you know, as one does. and, you know, what, like, it's hard. And so I ran for office that first time in 2010, again, as a Republican. And 2010 was a very difficult year. That was a Tea Party year, big Tea Party wave election, especially here in Kansas. And I was also very, very pregnant with my second child throughout that race. And so quite predictable that a very pregnant moderate Republican is not going to win that primary. So I lost that race, but then after reapportionment, I got drawn into a new legislative district. The then moderate Republican who held the seat was running for the state Senate seat, and she endorsed me. And so she and I worked together and campaigned together, and I won my election. What was interesting about the 2012 election was that during this time, Sam Brownback was governor. He was 2 years into his first term, and he actively campaigned against moderate Republicans in his own party and largely swept out all of the moderates in the Senate and most of the moderates in the House that were running as well. It was a bloodbath. It was that night there was an election party. And it was all of the moderates in Johnson County, Kansas. So again, this is suburban Kansas City. We were all at an election party that night and only three of us won. And so it was, I was happy to have won, but it was also one of the worst nights politically. And so again, I stayed on for 6 years serving, and that's three terms. We have 2 year terms at this level of office. So serving in the Kansas legislature in a environment that was mostly very, very hostile to moderate Republicans. But I think that moderate Republicans and moderate Democrats, for that matter, are essential to getting work done, especially in smaller state legislatures where you need that sort of center for negotiation. So that kind of leads me up a little bit to December and where I was when I, you know, made that decision.
I know you've heard this before because it's a very famous question. What's the matter with Kansas? Like, where was this hard right turn coming from? Was it just Sam Brownback's leadership? Was there cultural changes? Do you feel like it's indicative of some things that were happening other places in the nation? Why was it such a hostile territory for moderates?
Are you familiar with the Summer of Mercy?
No.
All right. So this would have taken place the summer of 1991. So this was in Wichita, Kansas. So more kind of a south central area of Kansas. For, you know, Wichita is the largest city in Kansas, although I think the population is higher in the Kansas side of the Kansas City area. But this was a summer of abortion protests near the abortion clinics in Wichita. It was highly politically charged, very dramatic. Lots of people doing some civil and not so civil demonstrations. And a lot of the sort of political impetus for this far right takeover, at least in Kansas, started there. So that is where I would pinpoint it. Absolutely.
Wow.
So you hung in through all of this with Brownback and through the election of Donald Trump.
Mm-hmm.
What was the turning point for you?
Well, what was interesting is the election for Donald Trump. I remember that night because, we're trying to forget, but I was sitting there watching all of the state returns coming in on the Secretary of State's website on my computer, because I'm thinking, okay, if I count votes right, you know, maybe we can get to Medicaid expansion. Maybe we can have enough to do that. And news is looking good because that year, although it was very unfortunate nationally, in Kansas, we had some great wins for moderate Republicans. There were lots of Democrats who picked up seats. And so even though Governor Brownback wasn't on the ballot at that time, it was still a very good year for Kansas politically. So I'm sitting there looking down, I'm counting votes, and I'm looking up and I see this large television screen and I see that Trump is winning all of these sort of, you know, Midwestern Ohio River Valley states. And I'm thinking, okay, I can't look at that now. I can't think about that now. I'm thinking about Kansas. And long story long, essentially, is that at the end of that night, we end up with a very dismaying scene nationally and a promising scene locally. So I was able to work a wonderful coalition with moderate Republicans and Democrats, primarily moderate Republican and Democratic women, to put forth tax reform. We were able to override Governor Brownback's tax plan, which is similar to the Trump plan. So I think a lot of times people think that everything happens last in Kansas. I believe politically everything happens first in Kansas. So what we're seeing with Trump nationally, we already did that here. By the way, it's a bad idea. So what happened was that, of course, after many moderate Republicans, most of them women, put themselves on the line, didn't think about their political careers, but did the right thing for the state, and they were targeted in their primaries. And in some cases, even after they had won the Republican nomination, the far right still targeted them in their generals, eroding their bases. So there were some who lost to Democratic opponents that might not have been that strong, but because they were under attack from their own party still in the middle of their general, they still lost. And so looking at a situation where coalition building is very, very difficult, has become nearly impossible. You have a Speaker of the House and a Senate Majority Leader who are both from this sort of affluent suburban area of Kansas that I am fortunate to represent, where schools are king. You can campaign on just about anything, but if you don't care about public schools, they don't want you. And so that's the most important issue up here. But these two gentlemen who are in House Republican leadership in both the Senate and the House are saying, well, we're going to completely scrap our school funding plan and essentially push forward a plan that would push forth constitutional crisis and chaos in government. In the meantime, we have a moderate Democrat who gets elected as governor. To put this into some perspective, that when our current governor, Governor Laura Kelly, when she served as a senator, even though she was a Democrat and I was a Republican, she was to the right of me on some issues. Mm-hmm. So it really is sort of a fluctuating line as to what party actually means. I ultimately decided to make the switch because the Republican Party made it very clear that they were the party of, you know, against public education. And I wanted to be in the party of public education because that is why I ran. So it got to this point where I could no longer be true to my voters or true to myself by staying in the party that was against public ed. So that is why I had to leave.
I'm not a research scientist, but I know that having a good hair day correlates with a good mood for me. And I have many more good hair days since I've been using Pros. I use the Pros shampoo, conditioner, curl cream, gel, and occasionally the hair mask. These products were formulated specifically for me, not for my hair type, but for me, what I eat, where I live, the specific issues that worry me about my naturally curly and very thick hair. Since I've been using Pros, I've noticed that I can go longer between washes without my hair looking dull or feeling oily. I've noticed that my curl structure is stronger and healthier. I've noticed that my hair has figured out how it wants to just lie on my head. I'm not fighting with it every day anymore. I feel like my hair and I have come to a peace truce. And that is really emotionally beneficial to me, in addition to producing lots of compliments on my hair everywhere I go. Pros is so confident that you'll bring out your best hair and skin that they're offering an exclusive trial offer of 50% off your first subscription order at pros.com/pantsuit. So get your free consultation, then 50% off at pros.com/pantsuit. That's PROSE.com/pantsuit.
You know we love rituals to celebrate the changing seasons and the different celebrations in our lives. You guys, this year I committed to Olive and June as a part of my ritual. I really wanted to paint my nails more regularly, and I have done a great job. I don't mean to brag on myself, mainly because they make it so easy. It's really, really all about that Manny system, especially the nail strengthener, which I'm very passionate about. I just love using the colors to mark the fun things happening in my week. Lime fizz for St. Patrick's Day, sequin everything when I went to the beach, grateful and kind for Valentine's Day week. I just think it puts a little pep in my step. And they make it so easy with the system. The manicures last so long. It's like $2 a manicure, basically. They always have the most amazing polishes. I love following their Instagram for ideas about manicures. I just love everything about Olive and June. That's the long and short of it, guys. Visit oliveandjune.com/pantsuit for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/pantsuit for 20% off your first Manny system.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How is your social battery right now? Mine is at about 50%, and I'll tell you why. I have a tendency to overcommit. I want to help with everything I can possibly help with. I want to do everything I can possibly do. I want to be with people, and I forget that at the end of the day, I am an introvert, and I really need time to recharge and take care of myself. Therapy gives me important tools to do that, to recognize what's going on, to understand my battery and where it is and why it's there and what I can do to recharge. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/pantsuit today to get 10% off your first month. That's betterhelp.com/pantsuit.
And there were several other female, were they senators or representatives that also switched party along with you?
Yes, two other senators. So one of whom is my senator. And so so our districts overlap.
So did you guys talk? Were there conversations amongst you? Was their reasoning very similar that you just saw that the time of trying to change the party within was over? Especially within the state of Kansas?
I think that that was some of it, yes. You know, I have a, you know, I've had a very close relationship with my senator for a number of years before I was even an elected official myself. She used to be a state representative with me. And so I knew that she was going to switch. And, you know, and frankly, I thought that this was a good idea because the Senate is a much smaller legislative body than the Kansas House is. There are 40 senators. There are 125 House members. And so I thought that she was making a good move. And frankly, I was pleased because I'm her constituent as well as her colleague. And I felt that she would have more of a seat at the table and would be better able to represent me.
Has that been the reaction of your constituents?
Yes, that does appear to be the case. Some of them are, you know, not all of them were pleased. I heard from about 11 of them that were not happy with, you know, and it wasn't even so much the fact that I did make that switch, but it was the way that occurred, because it would have been, I think a lot of them would have preferred that I had switched prior to the filing deadline. But the filing deadline would have been June 1st of last year, and Kansas laws are very stringent. The only way you can make any kind of changes on a ballot once you filed is if you die. Because I was not dead, I could not make that switch. So that's so because of those stringent issues, and just it was one of those things where I realized that it was time for me to go. And we have just finished our 11th week of the Kansas legislative session. And I can say that I have been much more able to move policy, to still work with the same coalition of moderates and Democrats that I worked with before, but actually getting incredible results. We overthrew House leadership. Man, this was only last week. We overthrew House leadership that had done everything to even block a hearing on Medicaid expansion. And through a series of procedural moves that are, you know, hadn't been accomplished in 20 years. This would be boring to anyone who's not a legislative nerd, of course. But this was a stunning thing that we were able to pull off. And we ended up passing Medicaid expansion. Wow. And now that is headed over to the Senate. And that was really an against all odds scenario.
I want to ask you how you think about the usefulness of parties. I am still a registered Republican for the reasons that your dad encouraged you to register as a Republican at this point. Mm-hmm. I am very upset with where the party is nationally. I do not feel represented at all. I am very upset with where the party is in my state. When you're talking about Sam Brownback, we're familiar in Kentucky with a my way or the highway kind of governor.
Oh, you have Bevin,
we
don't you?
Do.
Yes.
Oh my gosh, he's an anti-vaxxer. Oh, he's awful. Yeah. I'm so sorry. Yeah.
Every time I see him trending on Twitter, I just say, like, what now?
We do appreciate your sympathy, though.
I'm just a private citizen, right? I'm someone with no aspiration to run for office. And so I think to myself, isn't my best service to the country, insofar as I do any, to stay in the Republican Party and at least cast a vote for a more moderate candidate where I can? That seems like a really different analysis, though, than someone who is actively serving in a legislature trying to get stuff done. So I just wonder if you think that we should all conceptualize the role of parties differently and how you think about it where you sit.
Actually, this is really fascinating. Now, after I made my switch, I got a lot of interesting contacts from constituents who said, okay, finally, you've left. Now I can leave. The only reason why I stayed was to vote for you in primaries. I had, you know, gosh, I was just dropping off a latte for my high schooler at her, you know, at the school secretary. And she said, well, you know, I left the party because, you know, again, you know, she said, you always made me feel so good because I could cast this bipartisan ballot. And she's like, and that reason has left. And so I hear that a lot. It shocks me how much I hear it, actually. But it's interesting because if you talk about the concept of strategic voting, I think that that really does get a lot of people's hackles up, because I was very much raised with the concept of, yes, you stay in the Republican Party, you do everything you can to vote against the crazy people so that when you do get that ballot in the general election, you can choose between a Republican who's normal and a Democrat who's normal. And then, you know, it's like, you know, choosing between your two favorite desserts, right? As opposed to, I don't know, like a can of unheated cooked spinach that has expired and dessert, you know? So it kind of ups your odds for better representation, right? So that's one way to put it. But then again, I have not always practiced strategic voting myself. I can say this now because the election's over, but in the Republican primary, the gubernatorial primary, we had a truly terrifying candidate, Kris Kobach, who was our Secretary of State. And, you know, if you've heard of him, that's, you can see why I would not want him to win. And then we had our current governor, who was Governor Brownback's lieutenant governor. And I had a good personal relationship with him. He was a nice guy, but I disagreed with him on almost all of his policy issues. I think you can work with people without agreeing with them, and especially you should when you're in the legislature. But when it's you in your private moment in the ballot box, you know, in that voting booth, is strategic voting necessarily the best thing to do? Because what I ended up doing was I cast a ballot for neither of those people. I cast a ballot for the moderate Republican who didn't have a chance in, you know, in winning that at all. But I voted with my heart. And then it was truly frightening because I did end up regretting that a little bit, because our Republican nominee was none other than Kris Kobach. And so I found myself, you know, sweating a little bit thinking, oh man, what have I done? He might become governor. I made this much more likely by voting with my heart. But then again, obviously Kansas overwhelmingly supported Laura Kelly for our governor, thank goodness, because she's done a wonderful job. And, you know, she is, even Democrats, you know, you think about Democrats nationally, but Democrats in Kansas, even the more liberal Democrats in Kansas are pretty chill, close to the center. Mm-hmm. So, but yes, I mean, so that's sort of my own personal dilemma. I think that it is a tremendously personal choice. And I don't know what the voting registration laws are like in your state. We cannot switch parties after the filing deadline, even as voting citizens. That's one of those things where, okay, it would make sense if you could see your ballot before you could switch. I mean, I think states with same-day voter registration, you look and see where you can do the most good. And that's what I would recommend. But when you have states with hard voting deadlines, like we do here in Kansas, it's difficult. Because, again, we had a very crowded primary for both governor and for the congressional seat up here. And so we had a lot of people who switched to the Democratic Party because they felt that they were able to do more good there. So, as you can see, it's a more convoluted discussion when you talk about, do you vote with your heart or do you vote, you know, with a cold, pragmatic strategy? Because sometimes one works, but sometimes it doesn't. And it's really a case-by-case basis.
Spring is so tricky because I feel the sun shining, the earth is waking up, and I want fresh, vegetable-forward meals. And I'm running in 75 directions and don't have a lot of kitchen and prep time. Fortunately, Factor is here for me and for you with fresh, never-frozen meals that are chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to eat in 2 minutes. They have a ton of options for us, including keto, protein plus, vegan, veggie, calorie smart, and so many add-ons. If you need help with breakfast or snacks or on-the-go lunches or beverages, Factor is here for you. Every meal I've had from Factor is so well composed. It's so flavorful. The sauces are delicious. And Factor is celebrating Earth Day all month long. Look for Earth Month Eats badges on the menu for the lowest carbon footprint meals. Head to factormeals.com/pantsuit50 and use code pantsuit50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box. That's code PANTSUIT50 at factormeals.com/PANTSUIT50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active. Do you want a bra that's sexy or a bra that's comfortable? Thanks to Third Love, you can have both. Third Love was started to take all the frustration, ick, and ugh out of bra shopping. That's why they made solutions for every bra problem, aka problems. Their bras make it easy to bring back perkiness you haven't seen since high school, get smoothing you know where, and have straps that actually stay put. Designed at their headquarters in San Francisco and made from premium materials, they put every style through hours of wear testing on real women, including themselves, before it's given the stamp of boob approval. Comfort and support are guaranteed. Plus, whether you're a AA cup or an H cup, their virtual fitting room will help you find your perfect fit fast. They even invented half cups. No more feeling stuck between two cup sizes that don't fit. It's time to get your problem solved. Visit thirdlove.com and get 15% off your order with code PODCAST15.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Well, I think that this happens much more on the state level than on the national level, the party switching and these sort of thought processes, even as voters. I mean, my personal state senator, former state senator, switched parties 3 times. He went from Democrat to Republican to independent. So that happened. I think that happens. My question is, beyond the strategic thinking of how you're going to vote or how you're going to register, what do you see as the benefits of the party? You know, was there any training for you? You said your state senator or the Young Republicans recruited you. So you were very active in the sort of party structure. But, you know, when a party's working against itself, when it's sort of taken over by this ideologic faction, because that to me is always the risk of parties, is that it is the home to ideologues often, especially like even locally, people who are going to dedicate their time to it feel very passionate, and you have a risk of sort of more extreme voices and opinions in the party structure, not just in the group of voters that identify as that party, but in the like actual activist and people working within the party. Do you still feel like the party serve a good purpose in that role?
Let's see. I think, at least to a certain degree, if we're looking at it from that sort of like 30,000 feet view, and this is not an easy thing for me to admit because of all of those years I spent as a Republican when I said, I'm a Republican, but I'm not one of those people. I'm different. Mm-hmm. And here's why. But I think that at that large, you know, that kind of big picture view, it does make more sense for personal identity to say, oh, well, I am a Democrat because I believe in the things that are on the Democratic Party platform. I mean, it really hit home when I started seeing the, you know, when the state Republican Party platform was, you know, was updated more and more and got further and further to the right. And I would look at it and think, oh, no, I only agree with 2 things on there. And I agree with 10 things on the Democratic Party platform. So I think if you look at party platforms and those sort of vision statements that the parties make, I think it does make sense to align yourself with the party who most reflects your personal value system, right? But as far as functionality of parties is concerned, that's a little bit more problematic because, of course, I see parties offering training and having, you know, events and watch parties and fundraising and breakfast and stuff like that. But what was funny is that when I made my switch, there were lots of people who, you know, the news went national and I thought, what? Why would anyone care what some random state representative in Kansas does? It's like, I am so small potatoes. It blew me away. But what was interesting was what I would hear from a lot of people from out of state who would say, oh, she took all this money from the party. And I started laughing out loud because, oh my God, no, they never gave me any money. They didn't want me there. Mm-hmm. In fact, the amount of money that was spent probably by the party, now officially they can't play in primaries, but come on, if there's a loophole, they'll find it. And I know that they did. You know, so no, I never got money from the Republican Party. It remains to be seen if the Democratic Party will. I haven't gotten any yet because it's, you know, it's illegal for me to get money right now. Because in Kansas, our ethics laws, you can't get any donations during the legislative session, which it's a good rule, by the way.
Yeah.
But in any case, so, you know, I don't know if the Kansas Democratic Party or Johnson County Democratic Party apparatus raises money or gives money to candidates. I guess I could look at the financial reports of other candidates and see if they did, but I don't know if they'll give it to me. So when I made that switch, I wasn't thinking, oh, I'll get all this party money and this party help. To me, it was much more of a, I can't stay here. This is not who I am. And I, you know, honestly, one of the best things about it is that I felt like I was a Republican, but I'm not one of those. I'm not like that. It, being able to free myself from explaining constantly. I don't have to explain as nearly as much now. I just, it's a given that I do what I do.
Do you believe that there is a path forward to a Republican Party that you would be proud to be part of again? And if not, what do you think the alternative is? Because something I say to people all the time is like, we're not going to get to a United States that is well represented by one party. I don't think any of us should even want that. So where do we go from here?
Parties are cyclical. We have looked at the history of political parties just in the United States alone. Remember how the Republican Party used to be the party of Lincoln? I mean, none of us were alive then, but it's, you know, it also used to be the party of unions and people like Eisenhower, and hell, even Reagan would be considered too far to the left now. Yeah. And so if we look at how much things have changed in that way and how much things have changed for the Democratic Party as well, then it stands to reason that they will change again. Will the Republican Party be a party that I can be proud of again? Possibly, but I think that it will be, I don't know, probably 90 by the time it happens. It will be a long time from now, and it might not even happen in my lifetime.
Representative Clayton, thank you so much for spending time with us. I think this has been really helpful.
Thank you. I enjoyed the discussion, and thank you for taking the time to talk to me. This was great.
Thank you so much to Representative Clayton for joining us. Before we sign off today, we want to let you know that we're going to be at my home church. Florence Christian Church is a Disciples of Christ church in Florence, Kentucky, on April 27th to talk about the unique role that faith communities can play in facilitating grace-filled political conversations. So if you are in the Northern Kentucky or Cincinnati area, we would love to see you there. April 27th, you can get tickets by going to eventbrite.com and searching, I think you're wrong, but I'm listening, book discussion and workshop. We'll also put the link in the show notes. We hope everybody has a fabulous weekend. Keep it nuanced, y'all.
Dylan Garvin produces Pantsuit Politics every week. Thanks for making us sound better, Dylan.
Elise Knapp is our managing director, which means we could not make it without her scheduling, organization, feedback, and creativity. Thank you, Elise.
We couldn't make Pantsuit Politics without support from our listeners. Go to patreon.com/pantsuitpolitics to learn how you can receive more nuance and help us make the show.
Special thanks to our executive producers who have committed to supporting us in a major life-giving way. Tracy Putoff, Tim Miller, Cherry Haas, Sarah's husband Nicholas Holland, and my husband Chad Silvers. Our theme music is composed and performed by Dante Lima. The music under our ads is composed and performed by Dylan Garvin.
Learn more about our lives, live events that we're involved in, and what we're reading each week by signing up for our weekly newsletter at pantsuitpoliticsshow.com.
And connect with members of the Pantsuit Politics community by following us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter.